conquered death once for all. We will live in light of his victory, following his gospel call. And when the story ends, we know Jesus wins, for his time will not be stopped. We'll be never glad that we never will overcome the Lord our God. We'll be never glad that we never will overcome
I love that song. Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 21. Just looking at the singular verse each time. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this idea. I pray that you'd help us to have the priorities right, and I pray that you'd help us to see what's going on in our country. This country is definitely, definitely at a crossroads, and Lord, I do pray that as on occasion you interfere, you intervene, like you did with Jehu, like you did with Josiah. I pray that's happening right now in this country. And I pray you'd help us to just hang on for the ride and glorify God in the process. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 9. If you look at the Bible from a doctrinal or heavenly viewpoint, you're going to deal with some prophetic ideas. When you look at the back of the Bible, you're dealing with the back of history. And, of course, when you read Revelation, it's got a bunch of weird stuff in there, does it not? Read Revelation, you got weird things going on there. You got a big, great, big, giant dragon that sucks water out of the Jordan River and then spews it out at the Jews where they're trying to get down to Petra. That ain't normal. Okay, and so when you get to these times, the Lord starts manifesting himself, and then you and I need to spend some time and try to figure it out. Hebrews 13, verse 9. It says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Okay, strange doctrines. Where? Of the Bible. Diverse and strange doctrines that are found in the Bible. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Okay, so the meats or the meaty doctrines would be the strange doctrines. Unusual, not normal, not the usual idea, outside of the natural world. So in verse 9, he's telling us, okay, there are strange doctrines in the Bible. When you got an immortal God, obviously he's got some things that you and I try to figure out. And usually if he showed it to certain people, what did they do? They fainted. Okay, and so he says, you and I need to know something about the strange doctrines, but don't be occupied with them. Be occupied with grace. So he's given us a balance here. Now if you would, Isaiah 28, verse 21. The immortal God, with infinite understanding, seeks to communicate with each and every one of us. We're in this natural world. Most of the time, God allows the natural world to go unhindered. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So that's in the natural world. On occasion, God will come into the natural world to try to communicate with us. In 1 Kings chapter 19, after Elijah had a great victory in chapter 18, he got scared. Jezebel put the hit on him. And so he ran away. He's hiding in a cave. God shows up. What you doing here, Elijah? What you doing here? He says, come on out here. I want to show you something. And he showed him a great big wind. He showed him a great big fire. He showed him something else, some natural catastrophe. And it says, and the Lord was not in that. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the wind. And then how did he speak to Elijah? Through a still, small voice. That's the majority of time how God speaks to people, through our conscience. He uses words to speak to our conscience. Now, God is not a deist, okay, but he is not a control freak either. So on occasion, God will intervene in the natural world. Now, as people, we can pray and ask God to intervene. He did that for Moses in Exodus 32 because God told Moses, I'm destroying Israel. And Moses said, oh, please don't do that. Don't do that. And God did not destroy Israel. So a man's prayer moved God not to intervene in that case. There's times when God does intervene without man requesting it, and he's doing that for his glory. Okay, if you're in Isaiah 28, verse 21, it says this. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. So there's the name of the place, and that is a historical statement about a historical event. And that took place in 2 Samuel chapter 5. You go back there and read that. And then he says, he shall be wroth, angry, as in the valley of Gibeon. Okay, then you find out where that's located. That's Joshua chapter 10. That he may do his work, his, notice, strange work. And bring forth his act, his strange act. In Job 31, verse 3, Job wrote here, or Elihu actually did a writing, but it says this. Is not destruction of the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Strange punishment. Jude verse 7 talks about strange flesh, unusual flesh. And so what's happening in these ideas is that when you learn about some of the ideas of the immortal God, when he shows us in the natural world some of these things, that we're going to look at it and say, that's weird. That's strange. Okay, and the Lord wants us to know something about it. If you would, go to Joshua 10. Okay, as I said, the majority of the time, God allows the natural world to go unhindered. In that process, he will witness to you and I through a still small voice to our conscience. Okay, then on occasion, God will intervene in the affairs of men. Okay, without man asking. And after he told Elijah about the still small voice, right after that, he said, Elijah, I want you to go anoint Jehu. Jehu's going to be a king. And God chose Jehu to destroy the entire lineage of Abraham and Jezebel. That's when Jezebel got thrown to the dogs. Okay, and Jehu, on occasion, God will rise up a man to bring justice against evil. And Jehu did, boy, did he do a bang-up job. You read what he did in 2 Kings chapter 19. Where Baal had infiltrated the whole country, and Jehu said, we're going to have a Baalite party. Bring your Baalite gifts, Baalite bush and everything. We're going to have a party, and I don't want any Jews, I don't want any of the faithful Jews showing up. This is just for us Baalites. And he gets them all in this building, and then he has some soldiers on the outside. He said, when I say so, kill everybody in here. He said, if anybody gets away, you're dead. Boy, that's quite a technique. On occasion, God will do that. He did it with Josiah also. So on occasion, the Lord will manifest himself. In Joshua 10, verse 10, it says, the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. Okay, that's what we read in Isaiah. In Isaiah, it was history, but Isaiah said it's going to happen again, and you'll read it in Revelation when he throws hailstones down. And he says, and with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth unto Beth Horon. Verse 11, it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Ashkelon, and they died, and there were more which died with hailstones than they with whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Can you imagine the military report that day? Can you imagine the military men coming in with the sword, and all of a sudden, whoop, and another one, whoop, whoop, and all these hailstones, frozen hailstones came down. And God intervened without anybody requesting it. That was for God's glory. Elijah wants to get the battle done, and so he asked God to do something in verse 12. And then God intervened because Joshua asked in verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still. Now, poor Joshua didn't have the luxury of NASA to realize that the earth is spinning and speeding and spiraling. In his lack of scientific knowledge, he just said, Sun, stand still. And it did. Exactly as it says. And it says, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day, lacking 24 hours by 40 minutes. And the remaining 40 minutes were taken care of with Hezekiah, where the sun went backward 10 degrees. Yeah, that's something to think about. That'll blow your mind for a while. Was that figurative talk or was that the real thing? And there was no day like that before it or after that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Boy, that was a strange event. And it's going to take place again. Much in the Bible, we learn from history, don't learn from history. And since we don't learn from history, it's destined to repeat it. And so the Lord was angry back there in Joshua 10. He threw hailstones down from heaven. He intervened without anybody asking. And then he intervened when somebody did ask. Strange things. Strange ideas for strange times I want to give you this morning. And we are definitely dealing with strange times. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more strange ideas are going to manifest themselves publicly. And the Bible talks about strange beings, strange doctrines, strange events, strange ideas. They will begin to surface when God intervenes in the kingdoms of the natural world. Now, there are three men in the Old Testament that witnessed this. When Judah was destroyed, there was a nation called Babylon. It's called Iraq today. God was upset with Judah. Okay, Josiah had a great revival, but boy, then it went down the tubes real fast. So it's like the Lord gives a reprieve, and then it goes down the tubes real fast. And so God said, I'm going to destroy Judah. So here's Babylon. Babylon comes in, and there's three men that experience this destruction: Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. Have you ever read Ezekiel? Weird stuff. You ever read Daniel? Read some of that stuff? When Daniel and Ezekiel would get some of those visions, well, what was their natural response? They fainted. Fainted. What's a response in psychology? They call that cognitive dissonance. When you and I hear something that's outside of the norm, outside of the mind, cognitive dissonance sets in. Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah writes about some of the strangest things. The Bible mentions strange gods, incense, fire, wives, women, punishment, language. Okay, and so these are some of the strange. Ezekiel said, the Lord said, Ezekiel, lay on your one side for 390 days. Oh, lay on the other side for 40 days. Oh, Ezekiel, he said, I want you to go dig this in this cave, in this hole in the wall. You go inside there and you're going to find what goes on below Disney World, where they, you know, have all these things going on portraying weird stuff. Oh, Ezekiel, you're going to find this. And Ezekiel's brain is being exploding. Daniel's brain's being exploded. And the first military campaign is when Daniel was taken to Iraq, and they tried brainwashing him. The second military campaign, that's when Ezekiel was taken to Babylon. Ezekiel was a priest. And on the third military campaign, they surrounded Jerusalem for 18 months. Jeremiah was in the city, and God told Jeremiah, I want you to run through the city. If you can find one man who sought the truth and executed justice, and I'll pardon Jerusalem. He didn't find anybody. So that's why some of the weirdest things you're going to read in those books, in some cases when the Bible says strange, as in a stranger, in some cases the Bible is referring to a stranger outside of the land of Israel. That's within the natural world. Other times when he says strange doctrine, that's outside of the natural world. And that's strange to us. Now, Paul admonished the proper response, if you take some time and study the strange doctrines, Hebrews 13:9, he says, don't ignore them, but don't get occupied with them. Don't make that the major thing of life. Major on the major, minor on the minors. Let your heart be exercised with grace. So if you cross the path of somebody who's had bad experiences, you can talk to them about it and then bring it into the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if a person where God, on occasion, God always picks somebody to enlighten them about events, and that individual, when he starts telling people about this before they witness it, they're going to brand him to be a conspiracy theorist. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9. That's what the general public's going to say. Oh, that guy, he's a conspiracy theorist. And what happened is the Lord revealed to this man before he made it public. Jeremiah 11, verse 9. The Lord said to Jeremiah, the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Okay. You say, are you conspiracy theorist? No, conspiracy factus. It's just a logical thing. I know that there's two or more people secretly trying to commit a crime. That's what Black Lives Matter is. That's what Antifa is. It's two or more people secretly getting together to commit a crime. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 25. He says, there is a conspiracy of her prophets. Now, Ezekiel tells you where it's at. So in verse 25, he says, it's among her prophets. And then verse 26, among her priests. And 27, among her princes. So it's got religion and politics. What were the politicians like? Her princes in the midst thereof like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood. Now we know that was written 500 BC, so we know that life has gotten more cultured, everything's gotten better, nothing like that's ever going to happen again. Okay, so both of these guys were branded this when they were shown some strange ideas before the strange ideas were manifested to the people or to the public. What has the media said for the last 4 years? There was Russian interference in the election. The last 4 years of Russian interference in the election. That was proved to be false. And in 2020, amazingly, the election is totally clean. For 4 years, they said it's is definitely interference, but this one is totally clean. And if you don't think it's clean, that's a conspiracy theory. When the evidence was made known on November 3rd that Venezuela and Canada and Germany and China were definitely interfering with that election, but they still needed a piece in a puzzle, and the piece came to them on January 6th in the Georgia runoff, where a satellite in Italy was being masterminded by somebody in the Vatican to manipulate the votes to go to the Democratic side, and that was the final piece in a puzzle they needed for the evidence. So now you got Italy involved, but it's all a conspiracy. There's no evidence. None. Nobody in America believes that now anymore. All these people are conspiracists. They're nuts. They're crazy. But yet, all that is something being manifested. You say, can people be so bad like that? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 5, God told Jeremiah, run through Jerusalem. If you can find one person who executes justice and one person who seeks the truth, I will pardon Jerusalem. Okay, so if we put a wall around Lowell, and we say, let's go to every church in town and see if there's one person that seeks the truth, and go to the town hall and see if we can find one individual who executes justice, God is going to pardon it. Well, he didn't pardon Jerusalem. Why is that? Well, Daniel reveals why that is. In Daniel 4, verse 17, Nebuchadnezzar had this vision. We wrote it down. And they describe people who are gravitating toward public office. And in Daniel 4:27, he says that the basest of men rule in kingdoms of this world. The basest of men, the most compromised, lying, deceiving, deceptive people in the world are the normal that gravitate toward the kingdoms of this world. Now, Daniel took a step further in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, where he said the four beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the fourth one is a combination of all three. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 13. All three put together in one beast. It's a mixture of the DNA and everything. Okay, those four beasts are four kings that shall arise out of the earth. So when they get to that international level, their standard operating procedure is their beast of prey. Now, throughout history, the exception proves the rule. King James is an exception. Queen Victoria is an exception. King Josiah was an exception. These are exceptions to the rule that come along. That's when God intervenes. Now, would we be surprised that there are over 190 sealed indictments ready to go against the bad guys in our country and worldwide? Would I be surprised with that? Not on your life. Will the military, very good, wise military men, uphold their oath of office and go after the enemies at home and abroad? I dare say the drama of the book of Esther parallels what's happening in our country right now as I speak. It appears, and I'm only 99% confident of this, it appears that President Trump may be a Jehu for our country. It just might appear. And if you read 2 Kings 9, it's a very interesting read. I want to give you some strange ideas that the Bible will give to us. Just kind of gloss over some of them. The intermingling of DNA between the fallen angels and women and animals, is that possible? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, way back in Noah's day, fallen angels who were spirits took on flesh and blood, and they can cohabit, procreate with women, and produce a giant. These giants become famous people. They get into the political structure. And this DNA being intermingled, I mean, come on, Hollywood's telling us about it. Why is it that Christians don't know this? I'm not saying you get occupied with it. You know a little bit about it. And that's where strange flesh is mentioned in Jude verse 7. In Jude verse 6, in the back of the Bible. When you get to the back of the Bible, you get into this kind of strange stuff. And you got in Jude 6 is the Noah's flood, and Jude 7 is Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says that they destroyed strange flesh, unusual flesh, not normal flesh, weird flesh, outside of the norm flesh. It said we destroyed strange flesh. Now, what's the intention of the vaccine for this magic virus that came up? Where they ingest in the virus fetal tissue and animal tissue, intending to what? Change your DNA. Now, fortunately, we can be blessed because the Pope has said it's morally acceptable to accept a vaccine, even though as a result of an abortion. I'm happy about that. And, of course, this will give justification to the organized crime of the mafia to be moral as long as they give a gift to the head capo in Rome. And, of course, pedophilia is acceptable because it relieves the stress of living a celibate life. But is this being pushed? Come on, Hollywood, Batman. What's that all about? And Heath Ledger got too much in his character when he's talking about drinking blood and everything, and then he commits suicide. Hollywood is telling people about it to intrigue them, to trap them. The Bible tells us about it to be alert in case somebody crosses your path as a need-to-know basis that you can help them and then bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another strange idea is the Satanic Kingdom, SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse. People don't know about these things. Shape-shifting, the interbreeding of the elite, child sacrifices, pedophilia, human trafficking. Years ago, I bought a Jetta down in Texas, Passat. I bought a Passat and I had to go down to Texas to get it. And as I'm making the exchange with the seller, I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I rescue victims from human trafficking. My first reaction was normal. Huh? What? Yes, I rescue victims from human trafficking. Okay. Genetic breeding. I mean, we can go in the scriptures on this, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said that Satan's ministers transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. And then he said, no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. As the kids watch Transformers, where a little thing will go from a machine to a man to a monster. Where they're telling the kids about it, the Bible tells us about it, but yet they don't often appear as a monster, they appear as apostles. And so Jesus told the apostles in John 6, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? And that just blew over their head. Understandably so. He spake of Judas Iscariot. He didn't say he was like the devil. He didn't say he was the devil. He said he is a devil, but yet he's a man. And they didn't pick up on that until Acts 1, after the suicide of Judas Iscariot. You see, strange in the Bible can refer to the invisible making itself visible. Strange can be somebody outside of your normal thought process. Strange to you and I is anything that gets outside of our, quote, box. If you say to a Catholic that the Mass is a cannibalization of Jesus Christ, that's what they say. Transubstantiation. They'll look at you, what? Well, that's what you teach. I talked to one of these men years ago. He's a guy that listened to me on the radio. He listened just to get mad. He was Brent's customer. So we sat down in his living room, diehard Catholic. He thought I was a heretic and all this stuff. And I said, hey, great. And so I said, do you really believe that you eat Jesus like a cannibal? And when I put it like that, he dropped his head and he reached for his Catholic manual. Yes. And I said, do you really honestly believe that when the priest goes hocus pocus dominocus, it goes from Christian Brothers Distillery to the blood of Jesus Christ, and you suck his blood like a vampire? And again, he kind of dropped his head, and he reached out for his Catholic manual, and he looked it up. Yes. And that man on his deathbed, I was hoping that he was going to maybe reconsider on his deathbed. And I visited him in a nursing home, and I said, have you considered Jesus Christ? And he just looked at me with pride and anger. No. You see, strange ideas. Jesus said to the apostles in John 16:12, he said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. The Lord doesn't dump all truth on us at one time. The Lord in John 14 introduced the Holy Ghost to the apostles. He said it again in 15. He said it again in 16. A few months, several months go by, and God said, I want you, Peter. God set up an arrangement where Peter was going to witness to Cornelius, a Gentile. When Cornelius got saved, at that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to Peter. He said, I remembered. At that time, I remembered that John baptized with water and he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It took that long to sink in when you're dealing with something outside of what we're thinking. If you would, go to John chapter 6, verse 53. How many times did Jesus tell the apostles, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to rise again, and they didn't get it? Okay, if I were to tell you, oh, last week I happened to go to a doctor. First off, you'd say, you? Okay, I went to a medical doctor, okay, and this guy informed me that I have 2 weeks to live. Come back, church. I got a diagnosis from my doctor. I got 2 weeks to live. But no worries, because the week after I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'll be back. And you'd say, what are you smoking? You definitely have really bit the big one. Okay, John chapter 6. That's where Jesus Christ told them about Judas Iscariot. And they didn't even get it. John 6 verse 53. Jesus talking about the bread of life. And then he said this, John 6 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. If I was standing in that crowd, and that would have sunk in, I would have reached in my pocket for a pocket knife. Okay, if I'm getting eternal life, stick out your finger, would you? I'm going to chew on that finger for a while, and I'm going to... Is that what he said? Did he say that? He said that. There are millions of people today who think they cannibalize Jesus Christ today based on that verse, those verses. That's strange. Oh, wow. And look in chapter 6, verse 66, when some men heard that statement. The only 666 in chapter and verse numbering. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And you would think, of course! The guy's promoting cannibalism of himself. But they didn't read verse 57. After that truth was given to them, their brain went, ugh! And he explained it in 57. And it just blew over their heads. He says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus Christ did not eat the Father. In fact, God is a spirit. He didn't eat him. And then he reinforced it in verse 63, where he said this, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, I'm talking to you spiritually. You know, and when you get into some of these ideas, you know, your brain. Several years ago, we hosted law classes. 2 weeks in a row, 10-day class, 8 hours a day, went through law classes. On the third time we went through that, we hosted six of them. On the third one, I understood fiat currency. Okay, you tell the average person, okay, that money you got in your pockets has no value. It costs about 3 cents to print it. That's all. And how's that done? Well, at that time, the Fed puts in the order for the printing. They pay for the printing cost, and the Treasury sends it back to the Fed for full face value. And how does the Fed pay for the printing cost? They just write a check out of thin air. And you go to the bank, you get a loan, it's out of thin air. Huh? Yeah, that's right. I didn't get that. To the third, and when it sunk in my head on the third, I went like this. That is amazing. Hence, every once in a while they have to have a monetary reset. It's usually done through wars that hides it. They didn't have a war this time around, so the great reset, they want to change it to digital currency. Because you could hide the fraud in the digital currency, but yet when they force the vaccine with the Lucifer ACE enzyme in it, that's the name they give it. Lucifer ACE is an enzyme that will illuminate in the body so they could have a device to see if you took the vaccine, and they can connect that to your digital account and control everybody under a social credit system, which is going on in China right now. That's if they get their way. Is that Twilight Zone? Is that weird? That's strange. Again, it's not something we are to be occupied with. We are to know something, but yet we are have our hearts established with grace. That's what Paul said. Strange ideas. Now, back in John 6, in verse 66, these guys, after they heard that strange concept, they took off. That's the normal reaction. Then Jesus looked at the apostles, next verse, he said, you guys taking off too? Will you also go away? And Pete gave this reaction, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's brain was just frying at that time. He said, I don't know about what you just said, but I know you have the words of eternal life. And then you would think the Lord would kind of get, and then the Lord, boom. Okay, by the way, one of you guys stand here is the devil. Thanks for that help. That really helped me out. Strange doctrine. This is the eternal God. It's an amazing thing. Now in verse 66, those disciples had three options. And these are the options that a person can experience when you come across strange doctrine. Option number one, ask the person who made the statement for further explanation. That's option number one. You'll see the apostles did that on many occasions, but then there's other times they didn't want to ask. They were afraid to. So that's option number one. Okay, why do we do that? Because you cannot grow unless you're being challenged. When you're challenged mentally even. So ask the person who made the statement. Second option. The second option is what Peter did. In maturity, he realized the plainness of Jesus Christ had eternal life, and he did not allow the complex to overthrow the plain. He recognized that 9 out of 10 ain't bad. I'm going to take the 9 I understand. That one, I'm going to kind of let that go for now. In maturity, Peter realized all the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ and overlooked that strange doctrine at the time being. Sadly, what's the majority do? Verse 66. Forsake and then run around claiming Jesus Christ is crazy. If you go to John chapter 10, verse 19. It says, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? I wonder if any of those 60 or any of those disciples that did not walk, I wonder if they were the ones saying that. Next verse, others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, in actuality, yes, they can, but either way, that was something they didn't think about. So, in this idea, the closer we get to Christ's coming, the more strange events are going to manifest themselves. And that's what's being manifested. Once who see it, where the Lord gives it to them before it's revealed to the public, they'll be branded conspiracy theorists. In Deuteronomy 29, the Lord has these secrets. He revealed these secrets to Daniel. He revealed some of them to Israel. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So any of us can see that something weird is happening in our country. Anybody can see that this entire 2 months is just absolutely nuts. Anybody can see that there's lies going on and there's fraud being committed. And so the thing is just pray for our country, pray for our leadership, and don't be surprised the next 2 weeks are going to be rocky. A lot of weird things are coming out. Some of us are texting back and forth all this stuff, and it's being made manifest. And Q said a few months back that the first arrest is going to shock the world. Well, allegedly, who got arrested yesterday? Papa Pizzeria in the Vatican. For all the child pedophile, the human trafficking. And you know, the only time the word slave is found in the Bible, it's found once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. You know where it's found in the New Testament? Revelation 18 with the Vatican City. Slaves mentioned. That's different than servants. So I dare say that we might be seeing some strange things, but man, thank God for this book filled with grace. And we just hang on for the ride. And keep in touch. It may not be after midnight. I don't know. We'll see what happens going on today. But keep tuned to the emergency broadcasting system. That's for certain. I tell you, isn't this book amazing? I mean, it's in here. Just a matter of finding it. But yet, we're not occupied. We're not occupied. Our hearts need to be established with grace. So when you get these strange ideas, recognize, hey, it's normal. If you're going to faint and grab your head, can I believe this is happening? That's normal. We're finite. We're mortals. An infinite God is manifesting himself in this natural world. When you read Revelation, man, you got some strange stuff. Revelation has a great big red dragon sucking water out of the Jordan River, spewing it at Jews trying to get down to Petra. Explain that with Godzilla and King Kong. That's in the book. Hollywood takes it, twists it to trap you. The Bible gives it to inform you, but yet, if you cross a path of a person, bring him to the grace. Bring him to the grace. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to see this amazing book. And Lord, what's happening is quite clear what's happening. And Lord, you're manifesting these things. And Lord, is this a time that you intend to intervene and execute justice? Oh, praise the Lord. If it's a time that you choose not to and just let her march right into the trib, that's fine too. I just pray you'd help us to keep our faith in this blessed book where it should be. Ignore the media, ignore the lies. Just keep following this blessed old book that you've given us. In Jesus' holy name that I pray. Amen.